some good things we read about Barnabas, and he was such an encouragement. Barnabas is really a good example of our lesson this morning. Isn't it strange how a word can mean one thing to one person and something else entirely to someone else? I'm talking the same word. For instance, duck. What do you think of? What does that mean to you, duck? Well, some smart aleck today says Duck Dynasty. No, that's not what I'm referring to. What do you think of when I say the word duck? Does it have different meanings? Well, to a boxer, it means avoiding a knockout punch. He avoids that punch. He ducks. To the hunter, it is some wily bird, a waterfowl that he's after. To a seamstress, it's a type of heavy material. And to a military man, it's a type of amphibious vehicle used in warfare, a duck. What about the word crow? When we think of the word crow, what does that mean? Well, to the farmer, it's this black bird that's a pesky nuisance. To the braggart, the person, well, it's something he does about himself every day. You know, he crows. To the big mouth, it is something unpleasant that occasionally he has to eat. And then, of course, to the Indian, it's a tribe of his kinsmen, a crow. And the word Christian has different meanings to different people, unfortunately. It's a word that is used a lot, but it means different things to different people. Not all have the same idea in mind when they hear or use the word Christian. So I asked this morning, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Some people will use the term to refer to members of all religious groups that follow Christ. They would use that. And yet there are some groups, and it doesn't matter what they teach, it's Christians. They're Christians. Some even reject Christ as the Son of God. They believe he was a man that lived, but they reject him as the Son of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses are a good example of that. They're a group that rejects the deity of Christ, that he's not the Son of God. There are a lot of folks that don't follow the teachings of Christ, and yet they're still considered Christians. Some even deny much of what the Bible says about the life and the miracles of Jesus. And then, of course, the funny thing is, these people are considered Christians. The name Christian is often used to describe devoted, active members of a church, as opposed to those that are not active in a church. They may be church members, but not very active in the church. For example, John is a church member, but he's not much of a Christian, if you know what I mean. You know? So that would be an example of that. And then another one, some apply Christian to non-church members. They don't go to church, but they live good moral lives. They're good people. They do a lot of good for people. They really live a good moral life. John was a good Christian man, but he never belonged to any church. You know, give me Christ, but keep the church. Excuse me. That's the attitude of a number of people. But here, when we use the term Christian, and we think about good moral people, Cornelius was a good moral man. But that didn't make him a Christian, did it? He had to hear the gospel in order for him to be a Christian. Christian, unfortunately, is sometimes used as an adjective to describe some good deed. It doesn't matter what the lifestyle of the person is, but the term Christian, like, you know, he did a good deed. He's a Christian person. Look how much he gave to charity. Look, that's a Christian thing to do. Or we talk about America as described as a Christian nation. Now, we know America is definitely not a Christian nation. But yet it's still described as a Christian nation because America is without doubt the most generous nation on the earth, isn't it? I mean, it's the most... You take the American people, they give who knows how many times more than any other group, or probably more than most groups combined in the rest of the world. The American people are a generous people. So we're classified as a Christian nation by many. But how does the Bible use the term Christian? Well, the word Christian is only found three times in the Bible. Did you know that? Only three times. It's first found, as the text was read this morning, in Acts 11, verse 26. The church, they were called Christians first at Antioch. This was the church folks. It refers to the disciples of Christ, his followers, those members of his church. That's who it refers to. In Acts 26, verse 28, Paul is preaching. He's on trial, and he's preaching to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa says, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul, of course, preaching to him because Paul was a Christian. He was a devoted follower of Christ. He was a member of Christ's one and only church. He was a member of that original church. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, 16 is the other one. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Of course, Peter is an apostle, he's a preacher, he's an elder, and he's writing to Christians everywhere in the world. He is a disciple of Christ, he is a member of Christ's body, the church, and he is saying, if you suffer, suffer as a Christian. Don't suffer from doing wrong. If you're going to suffer, suffer for doing right. And of course, it is the case that all that would live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. They're going to endure it. It's going to happen. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, we are expected to endure it as Christians. But Peter's admonition is, don't be guilty of being a thief and then be punished for it. There's nothing to glory in that, but rather glorify God in the matter. That if, as a child of God, you suffer because you're a child of God, that's something to glorify God about, to give thanks and praise to God about. So nowhere else in the New Testament is the term Christian used. So what can we learn from these passages about how to answer this question, just what is a Christian? Well, a Christian is an obedient believer in Christ. King Agrippa was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. He was convinced that Christ was indeed Lord, that he is the Messiah. He was convinced of that, but he would not obey God's will. See, that's the difference. Paul says, "King Agrippa, I know you believe the prophets," Acts 26, 27. He says, "I know you believe," but he wouldn't obey. See, a Christian is an obedient believer. It's somebody who believes in Jesus and does what he says, obeys him. And if one believes in Jesus, that's not getting them to heaven, folks. If you don't obey Jesus, if you don't do what he says, then first of all, you don't really believe in him, do you? You're not really having faith in him. You're not really trying to be a Christian if you're not willing to do what he says. You say you believe, but if you don't obey, then really you don't believe. There's another group of people that had that same problem in John 12, verse 42 and 43. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." That shows their priorities. They believed in him, but they wouldn't obey him. And so the first understanding of what a Christian is, he's someone who is obediently believing in Jesus. He believes and he obeys. We sing that song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." Well, that's it. To trust in Jesus, you believe in him, now do what he says. And that's what a Christian is. It's an obedient believer in Christ. Salvation comes only to those that do God's will. They have to believe, but then they must also obey. Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. Jesus said, "Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? He who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 7, 21. So, if we don't obey him, we can say we believe all day. But if we don't obey, then the truth is we don't really believe either. Because if you believe, you will go to heaven. Are you listening? If you believe, you will be saved. Because if you believe, you will do what he says. Period. That's the end of the story. A Christian, then, is one who has obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that has made him free from sin, Romans 6, 17 and 18. That form of doctrine, that form of teaching refers to the gospel of Christ. And that gospel of Christ is the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and raised again on the third day to save us from sin. That's the good news. How do I obey the gospel? By doing what I'm commanded to do. By obeying the commands of Jesus. He died for me. He was buried for me. He rose from the dead for me. And he tells me, I want you to be with me in heaven. Here's what you have to do. If you believe in Jesus, then repent. Turn from sin. Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized for the remission of sins. God will wash your sins away by the blood of Jesus. This is how you obey the gospel. You obey the commands of the gospel. The good news is Jesus died for you. The gospel's requirement is you must now faithfully obey the commands of Christ if you want to be saved. So, number one, a Christian is someone who's an obedient believer in Christ. Number two, a Christian is someone who's morally upright and spiritually clean. What? Well, morally upright and spiritually clean. You cannot be one who continues to live in sin. Living in sin means walking in darkness. Walking in sin, walking in darkness, it is rebellion against God. I must be a penitent person. I must have an attitude of surrender to the will of God, doing what God says. Now, I know what I like and I know what I want. I know what I think. I know what I feel. I know what I believe. But none of that matters. I must be focused on doing what God tells me to do. And if I think I can do it my way, I've got another thing coming, as the saying goes. Because you can't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You don't get to go to heaven your way. You get to go to heaven God's way. And there is only one way, and that's through Christ. And the only way to go through Christ is to do what he says, submit to him, and do what he says. So I have to give up sin. I have to turn away from it. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Millions are deceived. Millions. Millions on this earth. Deceived. Thinking that they are children of God. Thinking that they are Christians. But living lives of ungodliness and unrighteousness, continuing to walk in their old ways, convincing themselves they don't have anything to turn from, they have no sin from which they must repent, they are walking in darkness, they have been deceived. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, folks, political correctness, that ain't it. Okay? That is not politically correct. That statement is, it infuriates the ungodly. It fires up the masses. It causes folks on Facebook, they'll blow up Facebook. You put that phrase, you put that verse in the New King James Version on your Facebook page, and anti-Christian people are going to blow up your Facebook page. They're going to just, it's just going to go crazy. You will have so many people mad at you, and all you did was put up a verse of Scripture that is plain. This thing will incite a riot. It will fire people up. People are deceived. They think they can live the way they want to live. But God is very plain. And then in verse 11 he says, and such were some of you. But you are washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I may be a morally clean person. I'm not going to hurt people. I'm not going to be guilty of all these vices. I'm going to conduct myself like a nice person, like a good person. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to be considerate. I won't cut you off in traffic. I'll be polite. I'll let you go first. You know, I mean, I just may be just a most moral person in the world. But without obeying God, that's not enough. Being a moral person is not going to get you to heaven. Now, you be an immoral person, and I can guarantee you, you ain't going. But being a moral person by itself is not going to get anyone to heaven. There also is the requirement of spiritual cleaning. Not just moral cleaning, but spiritual cleaning. It comes from being washed. Being washed. That's how you clean something. Even dry cleaning. By the way, let me tell you a secret that I just found out. Dry cleaning is not... That's not dry cleaning. They use chemicals and it gets wet. Dry cleaning is not dry. It just means no water. That's what it means, no water. It comes from being washed. You want to get clean, you got to be washed. Look at Saul of Tarsus. As moral as they come. Now, yes, he was violent. He persecuted Christians. But he was faithfully obedient to the law of Moses. He was obeying God. He describes his life as living in good conscience all the way through the time that Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He did not violate his conscience. He lived a good moral life. But he was not obedient to God. He had to be washed. That's why Ananias the preacher told him in Acts 22:16, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He had to be washed. Cornelius, as moral a man as you ever want to find, he was such a moral man that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. Cornelius is still not right with God, and yet his prayer came up before God like a memorial to him. And God sent the preacher to tell him what he had to do to be saved. Sent Peter to see him. Cornelius was a morally upright man, but he was not a Christian. He had to be washed. He had to be washed. And so Paul, in writing this, he says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Folks, the reality is a Christian is not just an obedient believer in Christ, but he is someone who is morally upright and spiritually clean. He's not perfect. He's not sinless. But he's covered by the blood of Jesus and he's walking in the light. He or she is living before the Lord faithfully. Faithfully. Now, by the way, let me define faithful again. Faithful doesn't mean perfect. Faithful means loyal. It means loyal. Occasionally, this little dog that Brittany brought home, this little Yorkie, this little rodent, is occasionally disobedient. Occasionally, we call her. Her name is Scarlet. Brittany loves Gone with the Wind. Her name is Scarlet. Scarlet, come away from that road. And she won't listen. She's going to go on. It doesn't matter if there's a bird over there. She wants to chase it. And she's a little disobedient. But she's still a good dog. She's loyal to us. She messes up. Occasionally she'll be running up the steps and run faster than her little feet will carry her. And she'll bump her chin on the steps, going up the steps. Whoomp. Makes a mistake. Falls down. Just like people. People sometimes bump their chin on the steps. People sometimes don't listen when they're being called, and they will go ahead and follow a path that's wrong, that's a mistake. But if you are loyal to God, you are faithful. You are not sinlessly perfect, but you are faithful. So a Christian is somebody who is an obedient believer in Christ. He is somebody who's morally upright and spiritually clean. And finally, a Christian is someone who is a member of God's kingdom. He's a member of God's body. He's a member of God's church. That's what a Christian is. The fact that you become a Christian, God adds you to His church. That's what Acts 2:47 says. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Have you been saved? Then you are a member of God's church. If you've been saved because God added you to that church. And those at Antioch were members of the Church of Christ when they were called Christians. Acts 11:26. And in the process of a person becoming a disciple of Christ, they are also added to the church by God Himself. In Acts 2:37-41, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. You have crucified the Son of God. God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And they heard this, they're cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all of them, all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. This was the beginning of the church. It was the day the kingdom came with power as the Holy Spirit inspired these men to speak God's gospel to them. So a Christian is somebody who is a member of the Lord's church, the body of Christ. Now the truth is, it really doesn't matter how men use the term Christian. It matters eternally, though, how God uses the term. And we can only agree on what a Christian is if we look back to the Bible as the only source of authority. If we look to the Scriptures, we will understand what a Christian is. A Christian in the sight of God, and according to the New Testament, is an obedient believer in Christ, that he is the Son of God. A Christian is one who is morally upright and spiritually clean and lives it. A Christian is one who is a member of the Lord's church. A Christian wears the name of Christ and lives in such a way to bring honor to that name. He tries with all his heart to be like Christ. That's what Christian means. Like or Christ-like. So we've seen what God regards a Christian to be today. So my question this morning is, are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? The name of Christ is the only hope you have for salvation. It's the only hope you have of going to heaven. There is Acts 4 verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, the question is this morning, are you a Christian? Now, we know what a Christian is. It's an obedient believer in Jesus. Are you an obedient believer in Jesus? Meaning, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you become a child of God? If you haven't, you need to do something about that today. And you know what you need to do, don't you? You need to walk right down this aisle as soon as we are led in this song. You need to come down here and you need to have a seat on the front bench. And we're gonna talk. And you need to express your heart's desire to be saved by confessing the name of Jesus, that you believe He's the Son of God. You must repent, dedicate your life to the service of God. And then you must be baptized for the remission of sins. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe He's the Son of God, if you believe that He is the Lord and Master, then you will do what He says. And He has told you that you must repent and confess His sweet name and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what you must do. And if you've not done that, you need to do it. Are you a Christian? Are you morally upright, living a morally upright life? I'm talking the quality of life now. Are you living morally upright, or do you lie and cheat and steal? Do you pretend to be a Christian? You're a Christian in name. The definitions of men might name you as a Christian, but are you really a Christian? Are you living a life that is morally upright and spiritually clean before the Lord? If not, you need to repent and you need to do right. Having already obeyed the gospel, if you're not living the life, you need to repent and make things right with God. And we can help you do that this morning. But a Christian is a child of God, is a member of God's family, God's church, God's kingdom, God's body, God's bride. It's all the same thing. A Christian is someone who's trying to be like Christ. Are you doing that? You need to, because let me tell you, friend, and you can believe me now, or believe me later, but you will come to believe what I'm about to say. Christ is your only hope.